Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The U.S. federal government spends more than $500 billion per year through contracts, buying everything from office supplies and automobiles to professional services, information technology, and complex weapon systems. The effectiveness with which the government buys these products increasingly separates mission success from mission failure. Acquisition can play a role in both the government's most laudable achievements and its highest profile disappointments. As agencies continue to face pressure to do more with less, getting more for the money spent through contracts is critical. Now, as much as ever, it is an imperative that government becomes a smarter buyer. Despite this critical imperative to get things right, acquisition remains one of the U.S. Department of Defense's most significant managerial challenges. What is the U.S. Department of Defense's Better Buying Power initiative? What is DoD doing to promote competition, provide incentives, reduce the bureaucracy, and improve services acquisition? The IBM Center has published the first full-scale examination of the Department of Defense's Better Buying Power initiatives, Beyond Business as Usual, Improving Defense Acquisition Through Better Buying Power, by David Vanslyke and Zach Hoytink of Syracuse University. The report sets forth 8 lessons learned about acquisition reform that's applicable across the government. I'm happy to welcome to the show the authors of that report, David Vanslyke and Zach Hoytink. Dave, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back.
Michael, thank you so much. I really appreciate this great opportunity.
And Zach, welcome to the show, your first time on.
Thank you. Very much looking forward to this.
Great. So, Dave, before we delve into specifics about your report, Improving Defense Acquisition Through Better Buying Power for the IBM Center, I'd like to get some context. And, you know, we've talked a lot about acquisition, and a lot of folks who may be listening understand mission support functions like finance, accounting, IT. But perhaps you could describe for us federal acquisition. What is it, and why is it so important?
Yeah, it's a great question, Michael. Federal acquisition refers to the people, the systems, and the processes through which the federal government acquires goods and services, essentially designed to support its missions. And these include everything from simple products like office supplies and landscaping to much more complex products like weapon systems. And these products are acquired via contract. But the acquisition and contracting aren't the same. Acquisition encompasses the entire process, along which an agency identifies and defines its needs, solicits proposals, and awards a contract to one or more vendors. And importantly, then it also manages the post-contract award process. In terms of dollars and cents, acquisition is big business. It accounts for approximately about $500 billion a year in annual federal expenditures.
So, Zach, now, I'd like to turn to the case study of your report, or the focus of your report, which is the U.S. Department of Defense. Would you provide us with an overview of the defense acquisition system, and what are the key processes that compose this system?
Sure. Another very good question. Defense acquisition, when people think about it, they tend to think about defense acquisition in one sense, but it's actually conceptualized in two senses. So it's three processes, which you can think of as the what, the how, and the way. The what is the requirements process, essentially the manner through which the department defines what it wants to buy. The how is what's called the planning, programming, budgeting, and execution process, essentially how the department establishes how it will pay for what it's going to buy. And then what is typically thought of as the defense acquisition system is the way that the department is going to construct its acquisition programs, its procurements, which you can think of those two terms as synonymously. So when you put the three processes together, requirements, budgeting, and acquisition itself, you have what's called big A acquisition. And then when we consider the way or the defense acquisition system in detail, you have what's called little a acquisition.
Excellent. So that's a great summation and description. So who are the key players within the DoD acquisition community? And perhaps you could illustrate for us the DoD acquisition chain of command, so to speak.
Sure. Another good question. This is actually a community comprised of a large set of stakeholders. Of course, you actually have DoD itself, which begins with the Secretary of Defense, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, who's the number two person who manages the department on a day-to-day basis. And then you have what's called the Undersecretary for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, USDATNL. Now, there are a variety of undersecretaries across the department who oversee these various mission support functions, for example, finance. But the USDATNL, again, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, is the person who oversees the acquisition system on a day-to-day basis. Now, of course, there are other players as well. There's the president, there's the Congress, there's the industrial base, and then there's a whole panoply of stakeholders from academia, the think tank community, and even the media who have some role to play in shaping this process, reporting on it, and really broadcasting to the public what it looks like. Now, if we step back within the DoD context, the acquisition chain of command is basically in four parts. Again, it starts with the USDATNL, and then we move down toward what's called a component acquisition executive, or in the case of the military departments, a service acquisition executive. That person essentially runs the show from an acquisition standpoint on a day-to-day basis in their component, say a civilian agency like Defense Logistics Agency, or in a service like the Department of the Navy. From there, you move down to what are called program executive officers who oversee a portfolio of programs in a similar mission or asset area. So you can think of a program executive officer or a PEO for something like ships or submarines. And then you have the important person, the program manager, who is that central figure who oversees and is responsible for execution of an individual program. So those are the stakeholders in sort of a large, big picture sense. And then stepping back within DoD, that's the basic chain of command.
That's a wonderful description. So, Zach, your report for the IBM Center highlights the fact that despite 60 years of effort, getting better outcomes in defense acquisition remains an elusive goal. Would you give us a brief overview of the history of defense acquisition reform, and why has it been such an elusive goal?
Sure. The project to reform defense acquisition really stretches back decades and begins shortly after the department's formal establishment in the aftermath of World War II. It wasn't long after the establishment of the department, and even before the establishment of the department, stretching back even into the early days of the Republic, where stakeholders had really been disappointed with or continually frustrated with bad outcomes in defense acquisition. Now, we can think of outcomes in three senses: the cost of an individual program, the schedule or the time it takes to complete and deliver an asset, and then the technical performance of the asset itself. And across each of those three dimensions, again, for a long time, stakeholders have been frustrated with the performance. So over the course of the ensuing decades, DoD and the rest of the stakeholder community have pursued a massive variety of best practices, attempts essentially to improve those outcomes, again, across a variety of practices. And if we look back approximately 30 years to 1986, the publishing of what's called the Packard Report. Now, there have been over 150 studies over these ensuing decades of what can we do in terms of defense acquisition reform. But the Packard Commission, named in honor of former Hewlett-Packard CEO and former Deputy Secretary of Defense David Packard, essentially provided the report that serves as the intellectual foundations of modern defense acquisition reform. And even at that time, David Packard is famous for having said, "We all know what needs to be done. The question is, why aren't we doing it?" So really, if we think about defense acquisition reform, the problem is not so much in terms of knowing what needs to be done, what practices need to be put in place. The real issue is with implementation. And there are essentially two quick challenges here with implementation. One is that this is a complex business. This is hard to do. And second, there are some cases in which getting a program started and keeping it going actually means not doing things that are otherwise considered a best practice. So, for example, if you think about estimating the cost of a program, essentially telling the budgeting community, how much is this probably going to cost? If you're competing with programs for funding, you may have some incentive to systematically underestimate the costs in order to capture funding. So that's just one example of a practice for which the underlying incentive is to deviate from what is sort of the established best practice. So economists have a saying, incentives matter, the rest is just chatter. If you wanted to sum up why defense acquisition reform has been so hard over the ensuing decades, that might be a pithy sort of one-sentence statement of what's been going on.
Well, that's great. So, Dave, despite the strong imperatives to get things right, would you outline why acquisition remains one of DoD's most significant managerial challenges?
I think you could sum it up in a word: people. The government's human capital. DoD simply doesn't have the acquisition workforce of the size and with the skills that it needs to really focus on and be able to deliver superior performance. And, you know, this is while the workforce is a common feature, it happens a lot, it's spoken about extensively with reform initiatives, the current situation is particularly troubling, as both DoD's own leaders and a number of external observers have observed and warned. The department's on the verge of a major exodus from the department. And I think a real challenge for us is asking the question of where there's a lot of that institutional memory, practices, relationships, understanding of processes, interaction with institutions. How's that going to be transferred? Who's it going to be transferred to? What's the knowledge and learning mechanism within DoD to be able to move that down into the organization? And I think, you know, the challenge, as Zach suggested, is how are you going to get the existing workforce that remains, how are you going to motivate them? How are you going to recruit well-qualified people? How are you going to incentivize these individuals to see acquisition as a rewarding career path as opposed to just a stepping stone to what they might view as a more desirable assignment? And so I think these are some of the more challenging questions confronting the agency leadership.
And Dave, I like to stay on that kind of train of thought. And more particularly, you know, why is it so important for the government, and in particular the U.S. Department of Defense, to become a smarter buyer? Why is that so critical?
So it's critical for every agency all across the government to be a smart buyer. But DoD right now is seeing a set of pressures that are kind of unprecedented in terms of both budgetary pressures and the mix of security challenges confronting the U.S. And so when we think about trying to return value for taxpayers and the warfighter, the question is, how do we squeeze the most we can from every dollar we invest in defense acquisition? That's a critical outcome that we've got to start focusing on. And that's not to say that we haven't focused on it, but really, every dollar does count. And when we look forward into the next decade, there are big portions of bills for very strategically important programs that are going to be coming due, including programs to replace each leg in America's nuclear triad. So when we think about sea, land, and air-based nuclear delivery capabilities, these are going to come due simultaneously. And the challenge, I think, is how do we maximize the efficiency and effectiveness with which these programs are executed? They're going to be critical to ensuring that they do not significantly displace other investments in core areas of the defense budget.
What is the DoD's Better Buying Power Initiative? We'll explore this question and so much more on our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors returns.